Welcome back to another episode of The Rule of Three. I'm Brian Miller here with Tim Slagle.
Over here.
Yes, and luckily we're both over here in the sense of the Atlantic Ocean. Brexit is the big news, and I think really, to me, the big news to come out of this, the whole Brexit thing, is that we always hold the English up to be so smart and posh and refined and calm. So it's kind of nice to see them lose theirs a little bit.
Well, you know, we kind of think of all of Europe that way. I don't know why. That has puzzled me for the longest time. I mean, we're the world's superpower. We're the wealthiest nation on earth. And yet, we still look to Europe for solutions of how to run our country. I mean, you hear that all the time. It's like, well, you know, the rest of the industrialized world, the rest of the industrialized world still has squat toilets.
Well, they're supposed to be better for your colon, but...
See, whatever they do has got to be considered better for some reason, even if it's squatting over a hole.
You're like, oh, they do this great thing where they don't eat dinner until 1:30 in the morning and you're so hungry, and then it's small and it's brought to you by someone who's mad. It's great. No, I've never been. I'm actually embarking on my first European journey next year, but I've never been. But we think it's like if you say, well, maybe French. They might get a little. But you say Italian, people picture like, oh, the charming Italian guy. And if you say English, of course, people picture a, you know, person in a suit, very, very proper, you know.
Very
you say American,
refined.
You picture like a fat guy in a baseball cap turned sideways with a propeller on the top of it. And he's got a foam finger on and he's drooling a little bit. Like the default American is like the worst version.
Well, you know, and it's always been that way, too. I assume, you know, my touchstone to American history is HBO series. So it was, I think, the John Adams series is that somebody met, I think he met Benjamin Franklin for the first time. And Benjamin Franklin had like a coonskin cap on. He was like in Europe, he had a coonskin cap on. He goes, you know, what's with the getup? And he goes, oh, this is how they all picture Americans. So why? Fuck the stereotype.
But what's been interesting to me about the Brexit vote, well, I was talking to my wife about this, and it seems like what a lot of people were voting on was, should we have joined the European Union? And the answer is probably no. I mean, almost certainly the answer is no. But then the tricky thing is, yeah, but leaving is like this whole other can of worms. And so people almost... It sounds to me like people, to some degree, didn't. It's not that they didn't know what they were voting for, but they were actually voting on something that wasn't on the ballot, as it were. A protest vote against the EU, as it were, as opposed to, yeah, but now that you leave, oof.
Now that you leave what?
I don't know. You don't think
it's obviously, obviously, you voted to remain.
I just think it's going to be I think it's going to be kind of a bureaucratic mess. I don't blame people for wanting to leave, at all per se, but I do wonder if they appreciate the potential repercussions of it.
I think they do. And I think they're aware. And basically, I think it was more the financial repercussions that spurred it on.
They're
looking at Greece, okay? Mm-hmm. Greece is now, how many times has Greece defaulted and had to been bailed out? And the EU is saying, Greece, you know, you've got to look at some austerity. And they're like, no, we don't want austerity. Austerity's bad for the people. Why do you want to be... You know, it's essentially carpooling with someone that's always late.
I like that.
It's essentially what England's there. England is like the fifth largest economy in the world. And all the EU is on them as a drain. It's the, you know, the EU is telling them they're being stupid. But, you know, in reality, it's a positive mood. They don't have to bail out Greece anymore or Spain or Ireland or, you know, any of the other countries that really are typical of what I think of Europe is, you know, people sleep until noon. Or taking a nap and, you know, going home and taking a nap in the afternoon and getting a whole month off every August.
So do you think there will be any negative consequences of them leaving?
You know, it's I don't I don't quite understand the fall of the pound and the crash of the stock market. For me, I think it's going to be positive consequences because no longer is England going to have to negotiate with the European Union. They're going to be able to negotiate on their own. They're going to be able to negotiate their own trade deals. And you know, that kind of independence is always been a plus.
So you don't think there will literally be? I mean, so you think this is basically a brief, short term panic reaction that will re-level itself out?
Yeah, that's what I think. I could be wrong.
I think you agree with the president, kind of, don't you? I believe Obama, I didn't read the article, I read the first part of it, but Obama just came out and said, hey, calm down, people. This Brexit thing is way overhyped.
But he was also, he was also on the Remain side. He actually went over there and made a few threats.
Oh, really?
I forget exactly. I probably should have looked it up. But he said that it's going to destroy England if they don't remain with the Union. So England is always, that channel has always made England a little bit different. First of all, they speak American. So unlike the rest of the Europe who babbles in some sort of unrecognizable primitive language.
Some Latin-based BS.
I would like to see them become a state, but you can't have a queen of a state.
You mean of the United States?
Yeah, let's have 51.
Tell you what, they would definitely put an NFL team over there if they got that. They've been trying to do that for years now. So if they were a state, they would definitely get their own football team. That would probably come with the package.
Have they really?
Oh yeah, the NFL really wants to put a team in England.
I did not know that.
The NFL has, and now they play, I believe it's 3 games a year in England. But they send, obviously there's no home team, so they send 2 teams over there. But they've been increasing the kind of marquee value of that. But the whole reason is they're testing the market to see if they could get, that's a kind of their goal, I think, by 2020.
Huh. I did not know that. I thought England was like the rest of the continent where a football pass is something you do with your head.
Well, sure. I asked an English person that I ran across the other day at a show, and I said, "Hey, by the way, you hear about all this NFL in London thing?" And the NFL always says over here that it's such a big success, and the games are sold out; they're very busy. I said, "Do people really like it? How is it?" And he said, "No, it would never work." He said, "The only reason people go is because they only do it 3 times a year, and so you just go get drunk and wear a different colored shirt than you usually do." I was like, oh, okay. I mean, he's like, people would not actually, he's like, they don't actually care about the game. He said, most people are just spend the whole time doing other stuff in the stadium and basically drinking. And every now and then they look down at the field and they're like, huh, I have no idea what's going on down there.
Yeah, it's a chance to wear the colors without having to worry about getting beat up.
yeah. Nobody has any real allegiance.
Nobody wants to beat up anyone just for wearing the Packers colors.
Right. Like, oh, he's a Dolphin and I'm a Steeler. I don't even know what that means. So let's go on another day.
I guess they would call it American football there, right?
Yes. Yes, they would. Yeah, they definitely do.
Yeah, that's too hard. That's too hard.
So I think if the NFL would be part of the Brexit package, I don't think they would. I think they would be Brexited as well. I don't think they get to stay.
So I'm excited for them. I think it's a big move. I just read an article that said that Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, who all voted to remain, might actually be the kicker, because Scotland had an independence vote.
Oh, sure.
About a year ago, was it?
Yeah, it was fairly close, was it not?
Yeah, and that this might be the kicker that makes them leave England and join the EU on their own.
Which they'd be
in good company. They'd be there with other socialist states.
And speaking of a redistribution, we've got to redistribute the segment to the next one because we're out of time. I'm dropping out.
And we're back on the rule of three. Tim Slagle, Brian Miller, and I actually went back to my hometown last weekend,
which is
I could say it, Trenton, Michigan.
Okay, and how near is that to say Detroit?
It's about 25 miles south.
Okay, I would say. So it's a suburb of Detroit.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's part of one of the ring communities that actually make up the Motor City, because there's no motors in the Motor City, I don't think. I think there's abandoned houses and organic gardens. That's what's in the motor. that's what's motoring in the Motor City. Oh yeah, there's a bicycle store too. We make bicycles and watches in the Motor City now.
You know, it's a bad news when you can actually name all the stores in a city pretty quickly.
No. There's a company that makes the. I don't think they make them. I think they buy them from China and put their name on them.
They spray paint Huffy on the side and then roll it out on the street.
Well, it's actually Shinola.
I guess they know that from something else.
That's exactly what they did. They found out that the Shinola. They found the person who actually held the Shinola brand. And
better than the other brand.
Yeah, I don't. I think Nickelback holds that trademark.
which
you know, I should interject here. I'm trying not to make Nickelback references. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's, my niece informed me that Mumford and Sons is far hipper.
Oh, as a reference?
As a reference, yeah.
Fair enough. I do.
It's
hate
Mumford and Sons has that other trademark.
I do hate Mumford & Sons, so I can actually I back your niece on this one.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, Nickelback is the hack band. In fact, Nickelback is so uncool, it's almost hipster to listen to them.
Yeah, actually, these NFL players do this thing. It's like a joke around this one. I forget the Redskins or the Colts. They call it Creed bombing. And Creed, I would say, was the pre-Nickelback. And what you have to do is you walk up to somebody unsuspectingly while they're doing some work, and you look them right in the eye, and then you sing a line from a Creed song, and then you walk away.
Well, you know what? My opinion is, if religion can truly heal the lame, why hasn't done anything about Christian rock?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting that, like, in theory, Christian rock shouldn't be that bad. Right? Like, there's the spirit of rock and roll is rebellion, but then, like, okay, so maybe you take it from a more, rebellious-y, Jesus-y type way, but, like, there's theoretically you should be able to play guitar well, but there's some sort of block. Maybe it is the devil's music.
Well, actually, David Bowie said that once, and I still remember it. He said, all those people that said that rock and roll is the devil's music are absolutely right.
Yeah, maybe he's right.
And he goes, and that's why it's so popular. And you're not going to change that. And ever since he said that, I've been paying attention. And not in some sort of a ghastly sort of way where the Satan is actually handing, pages of music to rock and roll stars. And it's like, yeah, I'm here to collect on your soul. Here's your next hit album. not in that sort of fashion. But it's but rock and roll is it encourages all the things that are bad. It is anytime anything positive, there's a positive message in rock and roll. It's immediately dismissed. Rock and roll caters to the dark side of human nature.
Yeah, actually, I had a girlfriend who listened to in college who her fatal flaw was that she really liked Christian rock and listened to a lot of it, and it came up. It was a problem. It was a recurring problem. She was great otherwise, but man, Christian rock. Oh, smokes.
But anyway, back on track.
Yes. Meanwhile, back in Trenton.
Yeah, it was my high school reunion. I'll name the city. I'm not going to name the year.
Sure, I would never ask a lady your age.
I'm just going to pretend that I can't remember.
Yeah. But, well, at this point, there's probably a couple of people in your class who might not.
It's not that bad yet.
No.
But there was a list of class members that are no longer with us.
I bet that's getting a little uncomfortably long.
Yeah, it is.
My reunion would have a a pretty unpleasant list at this point. I've only been out of high school for 15 years or something like that. But what I think
shocks most people is the fact that how many people on that list they actually knew, how many people on that list they were actually friends with. You know, sure. rather than just some sort of, you know, incidental. Oh yeah, he just happened to be in my class. I don't think I even had a class with him.
Yeah, know? I recognize him from the yearbook, and we had a locker 100 units down from each other. But I never. Yeah. No. Exactly.
Yeah. No. There's actually. You know, this is a. I think I can tell this story. Mm-hmm. There were two people on that list, and they I still remember them from middle school. They started dating in middle school.
Oh, wow.
And you know how middle school romances are.
Sure.
And a week later, she broke up with him and started dating his best friend.
Oof.
And he was heartbroken, as you know, as you would be in middle school.
Yeah. And you have nothing else to think about, really.
And he had a paint touch-up kit that he stole out of a glove box from a car at Autorama. He was at Autorama in Cobo
like
Hall.
Bad Boys.
And he was like sitting in the car to check out the interior, and he opened the glove box, and here's the thing of gold touch-up paint, and it just, you know, zip right into his pocket. It was gone in 60 seconds.
Not the car, but the paint.
The paint. And he was showing it off. He's like, look what I got from Autorama. And then the breakup happened. I'm going to change the girl's name here.
Sure.
So he went over. He was so mad that he went over to the side of the gymnasium with that paint and wrote in big letters, Kathy plus the sack.
Plus the sack?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, meaning that Kathy loves the sack.
Oh. He was a little cryptic with that gold paint. He could have just drawn a dick on her or something, you know? Kathy plus the sack. Did he get caught?
No, he didn't. And ironically, both he and Kathy were on that list.
Huh.
And it just, you know, for me, it just, and I had driven past that school on several occasions, years later, 10 years, 15 years, and it still said, they had scraped the paint off, but the type of finish that they had on the building, you could still read Kathy plus the sack.
Oh, the ghost of the message lingered on.
So when I saw that they both had gone, and whatever animosity existed between them is gone forever. I mean, it was just kind of, I had to go see if you could still, and I actually dug through the shrubbery looking, because I knew where it was on the gym, to see if there was any trace of Kathy plus the sack, and it had been painted over.
It's like a modern day Ozymandias, isn't it? Look upon my gymnasium, ye mighty, and despair.
Oh yeah, if it still would have been there, you know, I would have taken pictures.
Oh,
I would have wrote as much of the story as I could remember, and just, you know, just how the graffiti lingered on far, far longer than even their short lives.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, Kathy and what a weird parallel to have those two. And did you continue to know them through high school, by the way?
Actually, this is kind of funny. I didn't. She kind of dropped out. I think she got
she's chasing that sack.
What? What?
Chasing that sack.
Yeah, she kind of dropped out of school. I think she might have become a mom before she was ready.
Hmm. Prophetic words your friend wrote in gold.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the, you know, that's probably part of the reason why he was brokenhearted. He stopped talking to me shortly after we did this thing where we had 50s day, and we all dressed up like greasers.
Sure. And, I think we did the same thing on theme day, like toward the end of the year on homecoming.
Yeah, yeah. And we're cruising around trying to act like greasers. And I thought it would be really funny. He was working at a gas station to go in and pretend we were holding up the gas station. And you know something interesting I learned? Is when you pretend to hold someone up, they don't know you're pretending to hold them up.
Yeah, the difference between pretending to hold someone up and holding someone up is very minor and might exist only in your brain. Like,
you know, well, except that if, you know, he started pulling money out of the cash register, I would have said, no, God, I'm kidding. I don't want that. I just wanted you to say, oh my gosh, you look like a hood.
I can't believe, knowing his history, you weren't terrified of what might appear on some wall about you.
And he just said, you're just, you know, you guys, you're just an idiot. And he's like, slap me. And I said, I was kind of kidding. And then he just had this, he's just furious. And you know, it's we went back to the car, and the guy said, well, what happened? He goes, he didn't think it was funny.
And the Sackmaster gets his in the end.
And he never talked to me again. That was the last time I talked to him.
One fewer gas station attendant in your life. All right, back for the third segment.
One fewer segment.
In the middle of the night, I drove by that old house where we used to live in college. And I saw the Christmas lights were still shining. And the snow.
And on the final segment of Rule of Three, it's hot outside, at least it is here in Minnesota. It is summertime all the way, and you will also know that because at any given point, there's only about 5 movies playing at the Megaplex. They're each on 3.5 screens. One of them is a stupid cartoon. One of them is a superhero. One of them is people trying to get together in some fantasy fairy tale setting. And then there might be one movie you actually want to see.
And you can see it on a small screen. You can see it on a big screen. You can see it in 3D.
Or IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
There's so many options to view these limited options. You have to see basically 1.5 different kinds of entertainment. But
it's like, do you want that crap sandwich on wheat or rye?
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know if I've ever even talked about this on the show, but I've written movie reviews for a newspaper for 16 years now, I think.
Wow.
It's been a long time. It's one of the first jobs I ever had, and I've been doing it ever since. So I've seen at least 100-ish movies a year in the theater every year for 15 years or more. Wow. So I've been there. And the summer is always a mixed bag because I do like cheeseball summer blockbusters when they're good, or even when they're mediocre or slightly better than that. But boy, to me, a bad summer blockbuster is such a chore.
Huh. It's a, yeah, I imagine it's, you know, I think of some of the summer blockbusters that you've seen over the past 17 years, and there's probably guys that did 2 tours of Afghanistan that says, really, you saw Alien versus Predator? How many times?
I saw both Alien versus Predator. I saw Alien versus Predator and Requiem, the R-rated one, which came after that. I've seen every Harry Potter, every Hunger Games, the Divergent movies. It's the little ones like the Divergent movies and the Maze Runner movies. It's the one stuff like that that's what gets to you. You know, you're like, I can survive. Like we were just talking off the air, but the Independence Day sequel just came out. I saw that one. It's not good.
Spoiler alert. That's not necessary here.
Yeah, it's unspoilable.
I think you look at the trailer, you know the film, I'm guessing.
Yeah, which is a shame in a way, because now Independence Day, one of the great summer blockbusters, and truly the Citizen Kane of trailers. That is the greatest trailer in the history of cinema. When you saw that trailer, you're like, This looks amazing. And then they blow the White House up, and everyone's just like, well, I'm going to see that, obviously. I mean, it's like it destroying landmarks has become such a sort of movie cliche at this point. But
that wasn't just destroying a landmark. That was also expressing political unrest at the point.
Yeah, in the gentlest B-movie way possible, you know, but in just generally, like, I mean, you know, the 90s, in retrospect, were rather pleasant, but there was that feeling that at that point in the 90s, it was kind of boring. And so I think we kind of craved the destruction in a way then, whereas after 9/11, those destruction movies take a darker... They treat it more heavily. Like, you back and watch Independence Day, and it's, like, very jolly destruction of America.
So what gets blown up in this one?
And it is a great effect, but the problem with this one is that it's much more... They decide they'll be much more of a sci-fi movie than a disaster movie, and it turns out that they have no imagination for sci-fi whatsoever.
Huh. That's right. They go to the planet. They go fight their home planet.
Well, you would hope that they would, but no, they dragged that out for a possible sequel.
I thought that's what they were doing.
Kind of the worst of both worlds. They like tease a much bigger plot without doing anything with it.
But God, they're turning it into a trilogy.
I don't think it didn't make enough money. It only made as much money as the first one did on opening weekend, which sounds, you know, obviously the first one was a big deal. But the first one made $45 million the first weekend.
Well, $45 million was worth something back
then.
That's
exactly. And that's also not only is it because the just the value of the dollar gone up or down, as it were. You know, back then you didn't ticket prices was $5 for a ticket, and there were no 3D upgrades. All these blockbusters get the shot in the arm from, you know, an extra $3 per ticket on these 3D glasses. So all the numbers are so inflated now in terms of the people. You know, they're saying, oh, this made all this money. And it did, but it's not butts in seats.
And I'm guessing back then the special effects weren't quite as expensive. They weren't quite as elaborate. They weren't – I mean, they weren't blowing up models with M80s.
They literally were back then blowing up models.
Oh, they still were then?
Yeah, they blew up models of the White House. That was CG over real
Well, there you go. Okay,
whereas now it's all computer. Yeah. But they do a great effect where this giant alien ship picks up Tokyo and it picks up a city in China, I think, and drops it on top of London.
Wow.
It's a pretty great effect. But the rest of the movie is kind of a snooze.
Yeah, yeah. Why would you do Tokyo when your biggest market for films is now China?
Yeah, no, it was definitely China because and you know, a lot of the summer blockbusters are starting to be like really obnoxiously, they always just shoehorn in some Chinese subplot as an excuse to get into that market for real. I mean, the second Batman did that, it's like, why did Batman go to freaking China? And Batman 2, oh, Chinese investors, Chinese market. Like, it makes no sense. Remember, if you – on the Adam West show, it would have been like, wait a minute. Adam West is going to China? That's ridiculous. Go fight the guy shaped like a giant alarm clock who's got henchmen shaped like smaller alarm clocks. It's much more plausible.
TikTok, Batman, TikTok.
To be continued on the next episode. That was my favorite. They always have to watch two episodes to get the full story. It's like, really? You couldn't get all of this literary majesty into 1 half-hour episode?
Well, here's something you don't know, young lad, because you were not watching it when it was in its first run, it was Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is that episode one would air on Wednesday, and then everybody would talk about it on Thursday morning at school, and then, you know, so Thursday night would be, you know, even if you didn't see it on Wednesday, it's like, oh my God, Catwoman has Robin tied to a bench, and there's a pendulum swinging slowly, and Batman's been gassed out, and you know, so of course, even if you didn't see the Wednesday, you were going to be dang sure to be watching Thursday night.
That's interesting. I did not know that. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and then, you know, in syndication, you know, now it's, I think they run it like two halves of an hour?
Yeah, they always, in my syndicated viewing, they always run them as an hour and just show both episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. It was the only experience because, you know, we weren't Flash, you know, there was no Flash Gordon, movie serials when we were a kid. Is the Batman did the cliffhanger. That was our experience with the cliffhanger. Well, no, there were two, actually. There was Batman and Lost in Space.
Oh, they did the cliffhanger thing on Lost in Space? I've never actually watched it.
Yeah, but as I got older, I realized that the whole episode was there, And then the cliffhanger was the last 2 minutes. That was actually they would actually start the next, you know, it was just creative editing. Instead of putting the teaser at the beginning of the show, they would put it at the end of the previous week's show.
That's pretty brilliant, actually.
And then of course there would be two minutes missing from that episode because they cut off two and put it on last week. So the next 2 minutes they'd take it from the next week's episode.
Huh.
So it would be, yeah, just when the, you know, danger, danger, danger. Tune in next week.
Yeah, that's one I've never watched. I yearn for the blockbusters of yore. I gotta say, I like old movies and old entertainment a lot better. I wish I could have been watching those 50s movies in the theater. You know, those great re-releases of the Universal Monster movies and all the nuclear panic movies.
Well, Spielberg and Lucas, I mean, stealing that format is how they made their bones in Hollywood. It's that format had been entirely forgotten until Star Wars and then Raiders.
Yeah, so now the people are cannibalizing those movies, but to me, they're taking the least interesting parts of them a lot of times.
They're cannibalizing the Indiana Jones and the Star Wars, you're saying?
Yeah. We're doing all these, essentially, these people remakes. I mean, and for the most part, you know, this generation of blockbuster filmmakers now grew up on those guys, right? And so that's what they were leaned on. But I feel like they're taking less interesting stuff. They're not, you know, I'm not as interested in the things that wind up getting borrowed as I was from the old 50s tropes that Lucas and Spielberg were working off. I just think the blockbusters have gotten... They've gotten more effective, but just it sounds cliche. There's a lot less soulful. There's just no room for any personality hardly, except in the rare case like a Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a real surprise.
Patton Oswalt did a bit about Twister, and he said, you know, there really was no other reason to do the movie Twister except for the fact that they could computer graphic a Twister.
Yeah, someone was like, we can make this tornado. Oh, and you watch the movie now, and it's like, it's sort of shocking that they even tried to have a plot. You know? And there's the army of villainous guys led by Cary Elwes who drive the black SUVs. Like, you have to, like the tornado's not the villain in the tornado movie?
Yeah, it was actually a shock that Jurassic Park had a plot.
Yeah, well, Jurassic Park is amazing. That is a blockbuster classic.
I did not go to see the plot. I just went to see. I still refer to the movie as Big F and Dinosaurs.
That Michael Crichton novel. I've read that thing 5 or 6 times. That is so great.
Yeah, but it's actually a good story.
By the way, before we get out of here, since we're running over time, but I was something people don't appreciate. My guy, one of my favorite writers of all time, Ira Levin, perhaps the master of the elegant blockbuster. Ira Levin wrote Stepford Wives, Rosemary's Baby, and The Boys from Brazil.
Wow.
Wrote all three of his novels.
Wow.
In addition to some other cool stuff, A Kiss Before Dying and Sliver, but yeah. I mean, that's like, those are three iconic movies.
So do you want to give a quick rundown before we wrap up of the blockbusters you've seen? And
Sure. This summer...
Just up or down, whether it's worth it or not. Yeah, nothing.
Independence Day, don't bother. What else come out? Jeez. X-Men Apocalypse, don't bother. Captain America, Civil War, pretty fun. I would go with that one.
Finding Dory?
Yeah, I guess. It's fine. It's pretty mediocre. It's okay.
Just okay?
If you have to take your kids, you'll be fine with it, but I don't know that it's one I, as an adult, would rush out to go see in the theater.
Yeah, it's for me, I speculated that somebody might have shown an advanced copy to Prince, and that might have actually been the cause.
I think they should have called that movie Finding Money, because that's what they were looking for. The sneaky summer movie that's not a blockbuster to see, actually starring that young guy who just died, Anton Yelchin.
The Star Trek?
Yeah, not Star Trek. The Green Room, about a punk band that gets trapped by a bunch of skinheads in a venue and it's punks versus Nazis.
Wow.
It's really great. Wow. Really intense, vicious, gory, scary movie.
Wow, and you don't have to wear the glasses.
And you don't even have to wear the glasses.
I think that brings this one to a wrap.
Yeah. Check me out at Real Brian Miller on Twitter and BrianMillerComedy.com.
TimSlegel.com. All the episodes are there. and you can spell it wrong.
Yes.
You can spell my name wrong and still get to the website.
I'll have to check with Andy's in town. I'll have to check with him and see if that's the case. I just saw her last night. Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Bye.